Really kind of nice last 2 days.
For what?
Yeah, yes, sir. Man, I stepped out the door yesterday morning, and it was like, what, 40-something degrees?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I got out of the car, I went to work at 8:30, and I was like 33 degrees.
All right, we are in Philippians and chapter 4. Book of Philippians in the 4th chapter. Is it because it's warmer on this side or cooler on this side? Is that what it is? I'm sure that's not it.
Bring all the germs and disease and stuff to me.
Philippians chapter 4. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this. For this book of Philippians, Father, we pray, Lord, that we could understand the things that are here for us, that you would have for us to know, that we could have and enjoy all understanding. Lord, you've given us your mind and your will and your spirit to know your mind and will, and we pray, Father, that we would know it and own it. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time of year. We have the opportunity to get together with family and friends and people we don't see all the time. And heading into this new year, it's always a good thing to have an opportunity at a new beginning. And we thank you, Lord, for all these things in our Savior's name. Amen. Philippians and chapter 4. Let's read beginning in verse 4. And we're going to read through verse 9. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. All right, now we have been, we're moving through this passage now, this portion of Philippians, and we have been saying, and I wanted to back up to verse 4. We had been concentrating on verses 6 and 7 for the last few weeks, but back in verse 4, that idea, I wanted to bring us back to why we're talking about all these things that we're talking about. It has to do with this rejoicing in the Lord. And the first thing, just to bring this to our remembrance, that Paul says about rejoicing in the Lord is to let your moderation be known unto all men, because the Lord is at hand. And we talked about that that quiet confidence and strength that comes from the joy of the Lord. We think about joy sometimes in terms of extremes. jump for joy, right? Jumping up and down and just being, you know, exuberant and bubbly, and all of that's fine. But all of that is more circumstantial. The idea of the joy, of rejoicing in the Lord, has to do more with this peace that Paul's talking about. And it's a sureness and a steadfastness and a steadiness. So he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Then he talks about how not to view the situations of our life, the cares and the things that go on. He says, don't look at those things this way. Be careful for nothing. But do this with them. And he gives us an alternative to worry, because worry is one of those things that will break our peace and our joy. So Paul tells us, he instructs us what to do with those things. And we've been talking about that, and I'll just say one more time that what happens when you obey this passage and do what it's saying to do, be careful for nothing, but in everything, bring your requests, those cares, those concerns to the Lord, what happens is that all of those demons, and I'm using that term metaphorically, all of those monsters in your life, right? Those things that are attacking you, that are, you know, want to hurt you and that just fill your mind with care and worry. When you bring those things in to that relationship that you have with the Lord, those things begin to start, those things that were fighting you before, strong, powerful, vicious things, are all of a sudden working for you. Those monsters that you were afraid of all of a sudden become your ally. And those powerful forces that you saw before as working against you, you now realize are on your side. And you've got all of these powerful forces because of the way that God has designed this dispensation working for you now. Now they're the wind at your back. Because what they're doing, those monsters, is they're attacking your flesh. And so when you bring that in with you into your relationship with the Lord, you realize those things have the same purpose that I do. The destruction of the flesh. The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. So all of a sudden now, all of these things, we're all working together, and we've talked about that. It's all part of this working. And that's the... So what Paul's really talking about here is how to get the right perspective. How to get the right perspective. Not just put a positive spin on it, but how to get the right perspective. Be in line with what's true, with what's real. So, as we come now through that passage, verse 6 and 7, and the peace of God, and prayer, and being careful for nothing, we come into verse 8, and Paul gives us a whole list of things, 8 things here in this verse, to, at the end of the verse, think on. So, we're tempted to say that, well, Paul's been talking about our prayer life, so now he's going to start talking about our thought life. But the fact is that he's been talking about our thought life all of this time, hasn't he? All through chapter 3, in fact. That's what he's been talking about, is how to view, how to get a real and true view of life, of my circumstances, of the things that are happening. And we've talked about, and we continue to throughout this passage, seeing things through God's eyes. And of course you can't do that in these vile bodies that Paul talks about here, except you have this revelation, right? Because we don't know what God sees, except that we have this book and we have His Spirit within us. And God knows what the mind of the Spirit is, and the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God, and we have that understanding and that ability to see life through God's eyes. And we've talked about how that God loves life. He loves life. He loves to give it. He loves to create it. He loves to share it. He loves life. So then I ask myself, do I love life? Do you love life? You say, well, I got a lot of things going on in my life that are not so lovable. But that's not what I asked. It's got nothing to do with the things that are going on around you. The question is, do you love life? Our life is hid with Christ in God. So, do you love what you have in Christ? Sure you do. So do you love life? It's a matter of perspective. So, Paul's been talking about our thought life this whole time. And he tells us here in verse 8, we've got another finally here. He gave us a finally at the beginning of chapter 3, and he hasn't been going on for as long as I have on this, but he's been he was only halfway through the book when he said finally back in chapter 3 in verse 1. So now we've got another finally, and we're a little closer to the end here. And he says, he gives us this list. He says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, before we get into those things, I just want to point a couple of things out to you. What he's telling us to do here in verse 8 is not just to think about these things. He says, think on these things. So what that requires, what that means, is that I need to think about what's true, what's honest, what's pure and lovely and of good report. I need to think about those things. I need to bring those things to mind because I need to think on them. So in order to think on them, I need to think of them first, right? So now I'm exercising my mind in this way. And I'm bringing these things into my mind so I can think on them. And then once I do that, once I bring them to mind, then I do exactly that. Think on those things. What does it mean, this true thing, this honest thing, this just thing? What are the implications of that? What does it say that those things exist? What, think on those things. We meditate on those things. Now, we've been saying in this passage that what Paul is talking about here when he talks about our thought life is really kind of you get the exact opposite of what the Holy Spirit is talking about here in the world's idea of the power of positive thinking. It's so opposite, it's mirror image. And the difference is in chapter 3, verse 3, where Paul says, "We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." And the power of positive thinking is the exact opposite of that. It's about, I'm good enough and I'm smart enough and I'm so wonderful and all. That's the power of positive thinking. It couldn't be more wrong. So now as we come into verse 8, Paul is going to talk about thinking about and thinking on positive things. So he really is now talking about the power of positive thinking, but he's talking about it in truth. Understanding, see, what we've been doing here is we've been going through a progression. Paul, he tells us how not to look at things. He tells us then what to do with those things. If we're not supposed to do this, then what do we do? And he tells us about that peace of God that's produced as a result of that. Then he talks about how to think positively. After he's talked about all of these things, these realities that we have in Christ, and after he's talked about how he took everything in his flesh and in himself and dumped it for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, now he can start talking about positive thinking. Because now we know what positive thinking is. The first thing he says in that list is whatsoever things are true. So right off the bat, that eliminates a whole lot of things for me to think about, to have to think about, doesn't it? That's in the context of everything that there is for me to think about, that's a pretty narrow window right there. Of course, once you get into that window and start thinking on that, it's as broad as you can conceive. But there's an awful lot of things that don't fit in that, just in that first category there. Think about things, whatsoever things are true. There's a lot of people and philosophies and things out there that want to tell you how to think and how to have a better life through a better thought life. You want to understand, you know what's true? Here, come back with me to Romans chapter 3. Now, we know, as we go through that list, all of those things apply to the Word of God, right? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, all of that applies to the Word of God. So we could just leave it at that and say, think on the Word of God. And that's essentially the conclusion. But if that's what Paul wanted to say, he could have said that. And he says that everywhere in his epistles. So we understand that. What he's talking about here is about our thought life. Everything in our life. And the first thing we need to understand here in Romans chapter 3, verse 3, Paul says, "For what if some did not believe?" He's talking about the nation of Israel and what's happened to them. "Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar." So that's a good rule. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Right? All men are liars. And all the women said, amen. So I know that all of these things that are out there, it's not in man to know how we tick and what's real. We know that by revelation. So God is true. So when Paul says, whatsoever things are true, again, that really kind of narrows it down for us. And that list there in Philippians 4 and verse 8, it strikes me, again, before we start, you know, delving into each of these things individually, just the volume of the list itself. There are, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever thing, it takes a long time to read that verse. And what Paul is doing there, we got all this stuff going on in our mind, all these things to think about. And what he's giving us there is, again, the alternative. What to fill our mind with. That's why he doesn't just say, you know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. He says that in another place. But the idea here is to be occupied, to think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, you know, we think about true in terms of truth as opposed to a lie, but true has a lot of different nuances to it. When Joseph's brothers came to him, and he was second to Pharaoh in Egypt, and they didn't recognize him. And he starts messing with them, right? And he says, you guys are spies. And they say, no, we're not spies. And he says, yeah, you are. You came here to spy out the land. And they said, no, we're not spies. We are true men. And they're not saying we're actually men. We're true men. We're not deceitful. We're not deceiving you. We're not deceptive. We're true. The Lord is called faithful and true. You know what a true line is, right? A straight line, straight and true. Paul says, think about things, whatsoever things are true. There's an awful lot out there to think about that we know isn't true. But we need to be educated in those things, right? I need to know about all of these false religions and how they work, and I need to know about these philosophies. If I'm going to deal with people, I need to know about these things. You know what Paul says? He says, be simple concerning evil. Be wise concerning good. But you don't need to fill your head with things that aren't true. You don't need to do that. You know, nothing will show a crooked line better than a true line next to it. That's how you know something's crooked, is because you've got what's true. Tellers in a bank. How do you know a counterfeit? By studying counterfeits? No. By familiarizing yourself with the real thing. Then when something comes along that's not the real thing, that just jumps right out at you. So, whatsoever things are true, back in our passage, whatsoever things are honest, Paul talks about, and I'm fighting the temptation to look at verses on all of these things because I don't want to take more than 1 week, and we could be 8 weeks with these eight things. Come back, let's look at one, Romans chapter 12. Paul really is, as you go through this passage, telling us to think positively, to see positive things. We look at the world around us and we see all the dishonesty, the deceit, men who are not true men. And that can start getting to us. The Lord says in that tribulation period, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That stuff gets to you. If you let it, if you fill your mind with it, all kind of things going on in the government, politics, global affairs, all kind of things that we see that we know just aren't right. And you can fill your mind with that stuff until you're building a bunker in your backyard. Or you can do what Paul's telling you to do here. Now listen, no one has more undesirable circumstances going on than God. He's got a world and a universe of things that he doesn't like going on. Okay? But we want to look at this universe and this world through God's eyes. So when I see the evil and the dishonesty around me, does that cause me to despair? Or do I think about what God has done about it? Do I think about it? Or do I think about the problem, or do I think about the solution that God has already provided? And rejoice in that. Romans 12, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know, as you go through this list, you realize that a lot of these things really have to do, Paul started out that this passage in Philippians talking about let your moderation be known to all men. And they have to do with how people see you and what you show to the world, to the people who are watching. And he says, if there anything be honest, whatsoever things be honest, think on those things. Now this verse here gives you a pretty broad definition of honest. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. So here, honest is simply the opposite of evil. Right? To be, again, we're back to true. You know, it's hard to be honest when you got things in your life that you're trying to hide. Right? It's a lot easier to be honest when your life can be an open book, right? Now, what Paul is doing here, as we go through this list and as we study and think about these things to think about, to think on, is that we're in this progression. We're careful for nothing. We're prayerful in everything. We have get our thought life in control, and then that next verse we're going to look at next week starts talking about those things that you've heard and received and learned, seen in me, do. So now finally we get to things that we have to do. We've been talking about all these things to think about. But see, that has to come first. That has to come first. Otherwise, we're just all religious people here who are just here to do things, right? And that's not honest, and it's not true. Because the things that we do have to come from within who we are, So that's what Paul is talking about. Get a grip on who you are. Get a handle on what's true, on what's real, what's honest. So I look at the honest things in life. You know what's honest? Little children. My grandchildren are honest. They're about as honest as you get. Think on them. You all should think on my grandchildren. We've talked before about how this piece in this progression now, how it's the peace of God that enables you to do what we're talking about here. Because peace, when peace, I've said to you before, when peace rules in your heart, the joys of life show themselves. It's real hard to see, you know, those wonderful smiling faces when I'm too concerned about them running around and making all this noise and disturbing my peace, right? If I have peace first, then the joy shows itself. So we're in a progression here. Don't miss that. Don't jump into this without having come through the first part first. So, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. So that means that I'm not thinking in those evil terms. Charity thinketh no evil, right? So that's not what I'm thinking about. This person is doing evil to me, but my perspective on this is that as much as lies in me, for my part, I'm going to do what's honest. I'm not going to return deceit for deceit and evil for evil. Back in Philippians, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. I'll tell you what. You know what? Go to Hosea, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. And the very last verse, just after the book of Daniel, the book of Hosea. You know, Paul says that God did what he did, sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, innocent, sinless, Son of God, to die on that cross, to pay for sins that were not his, to pay for sins that were yours, mine. And he did that so that God could be just and the justifier of you and me, him that believeth in Jesus. See, God can't just forgive sin, just say, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it, because God is just. And that would be a violation of his justice to overlook sin. It has to be paid for. So God provided a way that he could be just and justify you and me, sinners. He did that through his Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Paul says, whatsoever things are just, I mean, take that and think on that. But there's a lot of other things that are just. But I wanted to come here to Hosea in the last verse, chapter 14, verse 9, and point this out to you. It says, who is wise? Hosea 14, verse 9. Who is wise? He shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. You know, this word just is another very broad word, and is essentially contrasted with evil. You know, in the end, there's going to be the resurrection of the evil and the just, right? So it means good in that context. So the definitions of these words that Paul has given us to think on are very broad. But here, you want to notice that understanding the words of God, being wise and understanding these things, prudent and knowing these things, thinking on things that are just, it says the just shall walk in them, but transgressors shall fall therein. So as we're thinking about things that are true and things that are honest and things that are just, what's happening is we're being prepared. We're being prepared to go into what Paul is about to lead us into, these things do. This is affecting our behavior. The just shall walk in these things. Solomon says, you know what? Let's look at what Solomon says. Come back to Proverbs. And while you're turning there, I'm going to find the verse. Proverbs 22. Proverbs chapter 23, we know verse 7. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we're talking about things, how we think in our thought life, and we know the Lord said, out of the heart comes the issues of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So this idea of what we think about, and what we think on, and what we don't think about, this has a huge impact on the kind of person you're going to be, the kind of person affecting the kind of person you want to be. Proverbs 22, verse 17, Solomon says, Proverbs 22, 17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Think on these things. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. Think on these things. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. You have a hard time talking to people about the Lord? Where does that start? It starts by having those things seated and held within you. Then they'll be fitted to your lips. If you're thinking about those things that are just, you will walk in it. If you're thinking on the Word of God will suit, will be fitted to your lips, and it'll be comfortable for you coming out. So, these things that we're to think on, we're preparing here in this progression to do, to live, to walk, to act, to speak as God has called us to do. It all starts, what does Paul say the peace of God is going to do? It's going to keep your heart and your mind. What is God, where is God working today? He's working in the inner man. So that's what we're talking about here. You know, it's easy, it's not always easy, but it's relatively easy to control our behavior and the things that we do. It's less easy to control our thoughts, right? But we're called to do that, aren't we? we're not left on our own to do it. We're empowered to do it. We're called to do it in Christ. Back in our passage, see, like right now, I could be mad at that clock. But rather, I'm going to choose to know that every tick of that clock is bringing us all closer to home. Amen. Philippians 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Again, the Word of God is pure, right? Like silver, tried in a furnace seven times. Pure. Not too many things in this world are pure. Depending on how you look at it, there is nothing pure. But this book is pure. And God is pure. And you know what else is pure? Your new man. You are in Christ, pure. You understand that God couldn't even deal with you if you weren't, if you had a speck, if you had a spot, if you had any blemish. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and He doesn't live in the midst of impurity. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. That word means in the Bible what we generally think about it as. The Song of Solomon talks about, you know, the Song of Solomon. It's a poem between two lovers, and they talk about each other as being lovely. In Ezekiel, it talks about a lovely song with a pleasant voice. And those are all the things that we think about when we think about lovely. Beauty. Things that stir love. We were driving in this morning, and there's a flock of something, and they were too high to tell what they were. But you watch a flock of birds, and the grace that perfect, that true V formation. And then there was another one. About the same size, a V formation came in, and they went like this, and they crossed each other. It was outstanding. Do you stop to notice things that are lovely? See, again, it's hard to do that if you've skipped right to this verse and you passed by the peace. It's that peace that enables you to see the joys in life. Otherwise, those lovely things, they're there. Remember the guy back in Jeremiah, the two guys? One of them is cursed, and the other one is blessed. And the one who's cursed doesn't see good when it comes. And the one who's blessed is that tree planted by a river who doesn't see the heat when it comes. And the good is coming for the one, and the heat is coming for the other. But it's a matter of what they can see. The cursed one can't see when good comes. So these moments of joy, the smiles on those little urchins' faces, the color of dead grass, it's such a lovely golden brown. Those things come and they go, and we don't notice. Paul says, notice. Think on these things, things that are lovely. Don't let that pass you by. All of these things are of God. Whatsoever things are of good report. I'm just going to say one thing to you about that. How much time you spend watching news? How much of that is good report? But here's the thing. All of the news is bad, right? It's all bad report. But that's why it's news. Because it's not normal. Normal is things that are of good report. That's what's normal. People live their lives and they don't kill each other. They don't shoot each other. They don't rob and steal from each other. They just go through their lives and they work and they're honest and they come home to their families. That's normal. That's why all the news is bad, because it's different. So what am I going to look at? This here that's of bad report, or all of this that's of good report? Think on these things. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, virtue is the power of goodness. When the Lord was walking and all of these people are thronging him, and all of a sudden he turns around and he says, "Who touched me?" "Well, Lord, what do you mean? Who touched you? You got all of these people." He said, No, someone touched me." He said, "Virtue went out of me." And that woman comes out of the crowd and fesses up, right? She was ill and now she's healed. Virtue went out of him and that woman was healed. See, that's that power of goodness, of his holiness. The power of it. Paul talks about those who have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. See the virtue. And if there be any praise, and all of these things, ending up now with praise, is coming back to this idea of thanksgiving in verse 6, right? Because that's really what we're talking about. And again, we're not talking about rose-colored glasses. We're not talking about denying things. We're talking about seeing things as they really are. And choosing what I'm going to spend my mental energy on. Paul says, think on these things. Be a positive thinker. Just do it in truth. And that'll prepare us for what Paul is about to call us to do. And I'm over my time. Do you have a comment or a question? Yeah, boy.
Yeah, I got a few things that might be a benefit.
Please.
Cannot satisfy a spiritual need by material means in this earthly existence. We're not designed that way. That's not our provision.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, you know, the provision in our inner man, because it's by God's grace, and God's grace is eternal,
mm-hmm.
infinitely eclipses anything that we're going to problems we have or anything like that. And then the last thing, you touched upon it in the earlier part of your message when you talked about Colossians. It's not enough to keep the doctrine. It's not enough to have the doctrine. That's not enough. It isn't enough to understand our position in Christ. The doctrine of our position in Christ is not being adequately utilized until our active response is being made. We need to be fully engaged, body, soul, and spirit, soul, and body.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that dovetails with the passage in Philippians 2, where Christ emptied himself. He was fully engaged.
Right.
Spirit, soul, and body.
Right.
And this is the parallel. And of course, we're to have, let this mind be in you in chapter 2, and now he's coming on to the end result. Not just the mind in us, but the things on the outward. Think on these things,
mm-hmm.
the results.
Yeah.
Of the teaching.
Yeah, very good. It is. It really is. We're beginning to put that doctrine into practice. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Very good. Very good. It is, and that's why this is our life. So when you think about, do I love life? That's where you want to. That's where you want to go with that. What is my life? Yeah, Brady.
I think about what it says, narrow is the way, straight is the gate. When you come to God and the road that we're walking on, the rest of the grace, it's a narrow way. You got so many blocks and things on the side.
Yeah.
And when you arm yourself, it's like the head the Lord put right. When you got the word in you, these things are going to harm your spirit. So when you act on it, it'll come out of you and they'll know who you are, because they're going to throw arrows, and like Proverbs said, they're going to throw arrows, dots, and rods, all kind of things. You're going to think some of the most perverse thing you ever heard in your life. This would harm your spirit so that they won't come in and you'll still be able to walk that life which you are called to.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Paul.
What I was going to say is that biologically it's imperative that we think on things that are just, lovely, and so forth, because God created us in such a way that when we have a thought, it releases neural chemicals in our body, and they funnel through the body called feed loops. Now, if we have a positive thought, that releases things like endorphins, which make us feel good, make us look good. Now, if we have negative thoughts, they release stress hormones. They can also adversely affect the body. So it's really important to get into God's Word, find out what is true, and feed your thought life on those things, because you will look and feel what you read.
It has a physical effect, doesn't it? And then conversely, how you feel physically affects your mental and emotional state. Solomon says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." Right?
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Perry.
Somewhere in the Bible it talks about if you talk about life.
Yeah.
You have life. If you hate life, you love death.
Hmm. Yeah, that's quite an alternative there, isn't it? That's your choice. If either love life or love death.
Yes.
And someone says death brings me closer to the Lord. Now death is still an enemy, and our desire is not to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon. Right. We're looking for that rapture. We're not looking to die. Yellows.
I want to go back to. I can't think his name right.
Boyd. Boyd.
Boyd? Yes. It's almost like he was saying, to sum it up, faith without works is dead. Close to that.
He's asking you, Boyd.
In so many words, what you were saying, your comments.
What about that?
I was trying to sum it up. It's almost like you're saying faith without works is dead.
Well, it's not being produced. It's not being productive, you know, as far as you're being. It's bad. It's negative for you, and it's negative for everybody else. Uh-huh.
That's okay. Unfortunately,
it's not enough to have a bunch of facts rather
than rather. Exactly.
Exactly. You're not living good.
Right.
You're not living
right.
That's a good start, but you
got to
work.
It's got to come out. Somebody ought to be the seed.
Right. And that goes back to what David said, why it's so hard for some of us to share our faith with folks. Something is missing there. We're not focused on the things of God, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just like our Lord. He had all those things in his head, but he never emptied himself and come out and did what he did.
Right. He could have had all the faith in the world. If he didn't do the deed, it wouldn't. It's as long as we remember that faith without works does save us, but it doesn't profit beyond that. It doesn't profit beyond that. I got faith and I got no works. Doesn't do much beyond my salvation.
Yeah. I hope that's not putting pressure on people to go out. Try to save the world.
Yeah, no, first things first. You gotta get what you know and get that active right thought life happening. Yeah, Pete.
I guess I want to say there's a difference between position and your experience.
Yep.
And in that, it's whether you're storing up gold or
gold. Yep. Yeah. And that makes a huge difference. Frustration. Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. What's up, Aaron? Okay, this is my on button. Where's my off? Oh, this.